Good morning. Good to have you all here this morning. And is anybody visiting this morning? A special welcome to you. By the way, thanks for the musicians this morning, especially our brother George Idima. He is very good at picking hymns for the theme. And I was just thinking about the opening hymn. It says, "What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord." And this morning, that is our prayer at Bethel for each one here this morning. He is not only our Savior, but He is also our Lord. I just want to tell a little story. There once was rather a rough and uncultured man who for some reason fell in love with a beautiful crystal vase in the window of shopping place. Eventually he bought it home and put it in the center of the mantelpiece in his living room. There it became a kind of a judgment on its surroundings. He had to clean up the room to make it worthy of the vase that he bought. The curtains looked kind of dingy. The old chair with the stuffing coming out of the seat would not do. And the wallpaper and the paint need some redoing. Gradually, when he changed one by one, the whole room was transformed or looked 100 times better than what it was before. Moral of the story is, when you put Christ, the Lord Jesus, on the mantle of your heart, your whole life is going to be transformed. And that is the theme of the portion of scripture this morning. We're going to look at the book of Joshua chapter 2. There is 24 verses, but I just to give you a little summary of, rather than reading the whole chapter, I'll give you seven little points that we get out of it. The story was told. Rahab was a notorious sinner in a condemned city. Verse number one. Rahab had a great fear for the judgment of God. And that's what we see in verse 9. She believed the report of God's greatness. And that we will read in verse 10 and 11. And because of that, she pleaded for mercy and shows her faith in the great God that she heard. Verses 12 to 15. She asks for and receives a true token of her redemption or her salvation from these men that went there. And she was also concerned about the safety of her household, and it was confirmed by the men of God that visited there. And finally, she demonstrate her faith. Now, when you think about many of you or some of you who went to Sunday school, learned about Rahab from the book of Joshua when you were in Sunday school, and perhaps you are here this morning and you never heard of this woman, we're going to look at it and explain what happens. But she had three strikes against her. First of all, she was a Canaanite woman. And secondly, she was a woman. In those days, especially in the Middle Eastern culture, women didn't have much higher standing like our Western society today. So that was a strike against her. And the scripture tells us Rahab the harlot. In other words, she was a prostitute. Some of the Bible scholars soften this one and saying, well, she was an innkeeper. But regardless of that, the scripture recorded to us she was a harlot. And that's a portion that we look at the title of our sermon this morning, "By Faith Rahab the Harlot." And that is coming out of the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 31. But she had something in her favor. That is, her redeemer was her faith in the great God of Israel, of heaven and of earth. So let's look at these things a little further from Joshua chapter 2. And we find out she is, as you know, the story is that Joshua sent two spies into the land to see how the people are and how Israel, and they, the children of Israel were camped on this side of Jordan. So he wanted to go and see how this city is. But Jericho, as you know from scriptures, it was a very fortified city. It was surrounded by walls, so nobody could get in. So the two men went to Jericho, and guess where they went? Out of all the people in that city, they went to the house of Rahab. And you know, sometimes you wonder, when you look at that chapter, God has told Joshua, I have already given you the city of Jericho. And you just sometimes wonder why Joshua sent these two men. And yet you know that in the human experience, like your life and my life, the day-to-day experience, that's what exactly what God wants us to do. Explore all the human means that's available to each one of us. In other words, for example, if you are, say, like some reason you get sick, well, God has provided us medical facilities and doctors and hospitals that we can go and get help. And of course, no matter what happens, is the ultimate healer is the Lord. And we had to keep always that in mind. But God also wants us to use the human means that he has provided for us. So Rahab is a picture of the power of the Lord Jesus to transform any life that comes to him by faith. How the Lord take sinners who will place their faith and trust in him and change them by his power and his grace. So first of all, we're going to look at Rahab, the call girl. And then we're going to look at Rahab, the converted girl. Then we're going to look at Rahab, the completed girl. And what a difference her faith made in her life. First of all, Rahab, the call girl. We're going to look at her spiritual condition. She had a depraved and wicked life. She is a picture of every person who is lost in sin. And if you are here this morning, and if you do not know the Lord Jesus as your Savior and your Lord, as you've been singing, that is your condition. And that is, if I don't know the Lord, that is my condition. But praise God that many of us here this morning have come to trust in the person of the Lord Jesus and are redeemed by his power, by his mercy, by his grace. The book of, if you ever attended our morning meetings, the 9:30 remembrance service, many of these things we bring before us from scripture, what our former condition was, and now who we are, because of the Lord Jesus and his death on the cross of Calvary, the transformation that take place. So just for those of you who are not familiar with the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul describes to us, if you are outside of Christ, if you are not saved, and this is your condition, he says here, those who you were dead in sin and trespasses. There is the two verses the Apostle Paul brings before us, the condition of the sinner apart from salvation, outside of Christ. He is not only dead in sin, but he is also depraved through sin. And that is verse 2 and 2a of Ephesians chapter 2. He is not only dead and depraved in sin, but he is also deluded by Satan, the enemy of your soul and my soul. And that is verse 2 and B. And we are also disobedient to God. If you are outside of Christ, that's the condition of you and me. And we are defiled by sin. And we are also darkened in your mind because of the sin. And the Apostle Paul concluded by saying in verse 3, he says, you are doomed because of sin. You know, one of the things that I just want to say, Christianity is the only, I didn't want to say religion, but the only way of life that deal with sin of mankind. You take Hinduism, you take Islam, you take Jainism, you take Buddhism, all the other religions only deal with good and evil. And the teachings of some of those guys that they think is the leaders. But Christ, the reason that he came is to deal with your sin and my sin. And how did he do that? He bore your sins and my sins on his own body on the tree. That is Calvary. And that's the reason that he came. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And the Gospel of Mark that we went through, chapter 10 and verse 45, tells us the Son of Man is not to come to be ministered unto, but to give his life as a ransom for many. And that's what he did on the cross of Calvary. That's why he came from above, from heaven, to this cursed scene. And what other leader of the any other religions of the world you can say that? Nobody. And because he was the Son of God and he was without sin, the Apostle Paul described to him the Lord Jesus, he knew no sin. The Apostle John tells us, in him there is no sin. And the Apostle Peter reminds us this morning, he did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. The Holy Son of God, he was without sin, and that is why he was able to pay the penalty or the punishment of your sin and my sin. And because of that, we are also delivered from the pollution or the power of sin. And that's why, that's what happened to this lady, Rahab. The Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 22, he says, the scripture has concluded all under sin, so that God can justify those who put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. He says, by faith in Jesus, he can justify all those who are under sin. So, first of all, we looked at her spiritual condition. She had a wicked and depraved life. Secondly, her spiritual condemnation. She lived in a city that was slated for destruction. And you know what? This world of ours, that's what the scripture reminds us. All that we see is going to be burned up for destruction. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. And you and I, without the Lord Jesus, we belong to a perishing race. But God sent his Son to save us from that destruction and to give us eternal life. Look at John's Gospel chapter 3. This is what John says in chapter 3 after we read that 3:16, the verse. Verse 36 of John chapter 3. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And if you are here this morning, you don't believe on the Lord Jesus for the salvation of your soul, the wrath of God is still abiding in you. God has already determined for that Jericho, the town, will fall, and pass sentence on the inhabitants of that city. And so it is with every sinner. The lost are condemned and they abide under the wrath of God. Thirdly, we looked at her spiritual condition, her spiritual condemnation, but we also see God's spiritual compassion. Notice verse 10. It had been 40 years almost since the children of Israel left Egypt. God has given them all the time and to repent and come to have the experience of grace and patience of God. So the scripture reminds us this morning, seek ye the Lord while he is near. Call upon him while he will answer. And God has promised each one of us, I will answer them even before they call. And the Apostle Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, today is the day of salvation. Today is the accepted time. You know, some of you probably thinking here, if you don't know the Lord Jesus, he says, well, I am young. I got so many years ahead of me. I will, you know, someday maybe trust the Lord for my salvation of my soul. But you know what? There's no guarantee for tomorrow. God only gives us just today. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is the today that we are living. So you don't know what is going to happen tomorrow, whether you will be here or not. And that's why the scripture says, call upon the Lord while he may be found. Answer. He promised that he will. And it's interesting what Rahab has to say in chapter 2 and verse 10. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when he came out of Egypt, and what he did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there any remain any more courage in any man because of you, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and earth beneath. So Rahab believed the judgment of God and who he is. She confessed that he is God of heaven and of earth. How wonderful to recognize this morning the creator of the universe, that because he loved each one of us, you and me, he sent what all heaven had, his only beloved son, to save us. So this is we looked at Rahab the call girl. Now let's look at Rahab the converted girl, verses 2 to 11, that we read her story. And she heard the word, she heard the message of judgment, but it introduced her to the true living God and the message of life. that message this morning is the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. The Apostle Paul, when he was writing to Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says this: "This is the gospel that we preached unto you, that Lord Jesus Christ died according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again according to the scriptures the third day." That is, in a nutshell, the gospel. Because Lord Jesus came upon here to die for your sins and my sins, and that he was buried. And you know the difference is, all the other religions, their leaders, and we have the tomb of all of them amongst us still. Look at Islam, Muhammad, his tomb is still in Mecca. That's why they make the pilgrimage there to go and see the tomb. But the Lord Jesus is the only one that is rose from the dead and he is living. The Apostle John, when he writes in the book of Revelation, he says, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and now I am alive for evermore." What a wonderful, that's what we've been singing. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Savior. So, she not only heard the word, but she heeded the word. It is not what you believe, it is what you obey. Because that's why the Apostle James tells us, "Do you believe there is only one God? The devil also believe that." So, does it make any difference? You just say, "Oh, I believe there is a God." No. What you believe is supposed to obey what you hear. So that's what happened to Rahab. And the message produced a response of faith in the heart of Rahab. She acted on her faith. That's what Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 31. Rahab, by faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish, but she received the spies with peace, because she had the guarantee from God of heaven and earth. That is exactly what must happen with the lost sinner. So the scripture reminds us, "Whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And that is from Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. And it says there, it is whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord. She not only heard the word, but she received the word. The Apostle James in his epistle reminds us, 1 and verse 22, he says, "There are not only hearers of the word, but doers also." So, result of heeding the word of God, what happened? She committed her life to the might of the Lord. Verse 10. She also committed her life to not only to the might of God, but the majesty of God. And verse 12 to 13, she says, she committed her life to the mercy of the Lord. And that's what when we put the faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, each one of us, that's what happened. Rahab, we looked at the call girl, we looked at converted girl, now we're going to look at Rahab, the completed girl, and verses 12 to 22. And the proof of her completion, you see that she labored for the Lord. How? Her life had been radically changed by the power of God even before the spies arrived. Because when the spies came, they didn't know. They thought they were going to Rahab the harlot's house. But when they got there, they saw what a difference in the life of this woman. She has changed. The truth of our profession is proven by the work of our life. James tells us that. The Apostle Paul says, "Man is justified by faith, But the Apostle James says he is justified by works. How? To show to others that you are saved. How? The faith is the root of your salvation. That is, by faith we are justified. By grace are you saved through faith, through the Lord Jesus Christ. But then the Apostle Paul also explains that you and I are created in Christ Jesus for good works. That is, not for your salvation, but as a result of your salvation. Actually, the fruit of your life is the root of your salvation. And the fact that she also not only labored for the Lord, but she loved the lost. Because look at the request that she makes to the spies. She says, not only me, but you know, we know that your God, you guys going to come in and conquer the city. But I have a request. Save not only me, my family, my father, my mother, my sisters, and my brothers. So she wanted to save the entire family. She was concerned for her family. She proved that she was saved by the power and grace of God. And you know, when the Lord Jesus was here, when he called his disciples, what happened? Nathanael went and found his brother and brought to the Lord Jesus. John also did the same. And most of his followers, when they followed him, they went and proclaimed to others. Look at the demonic man who was healed of the Lord Jesus. What did he do? He said, I want to come after you. He said, no, you go and tell your friends what the Lord has done for you. So he goes and tell everybody. Look at the Samaritan woman in John's Gospel chapter 4. She went to the city and told everyone, come and see a man who told me whatever I did in my life. And isn't he the Messiah? And you know, those of us who are saved by the grace and mercy of God, it's your responsibility and my responsibility to tell others what the Lord has done in your life and my life. What change has taken place because of that in your life? You know, sometimes I wonder, I always think about, if I wasn't saved by the grace of God, if I was not a Christian, look at the other people around you. You know, they go to the bar, they drink, they dance, all the other things in the world. Look at the end of their life. What a mess. And that's what we see every day in our neighborhood. Shooting, killing, knifing, all the other things that are going around. You know, sometimes I wonder, the simple solution is, if they knew the Lord and they know the salvation of God, what a wonderful life that you can have. Nothing but the best. You know, that's what the Apostle Paul, when he was writing to Timothy, and says, bodily exercise profiteth a little. In other words, it has a little benefit. But godliness is good for this life, now, and the one to come, for eternal life. So why wouldn't you choose that life rather than the messed up life of the world? So, and we see the payoff of her completion. She found new freedom and she was saved. You can read that in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 20 to 25. When the walls of Jericho fell, her house was the only one standing. It was that place marked by a scarlet thread, a rope. That's what the spies told him. When we come and take over the city, and he said, how do we know? Where is your house? How do they know? Where is your house? So they told him, tie a rope on your window outside, a red scarlet rope. And you know, when you think about it, it didn't take any soldiers, didn't take any gunfire, no tanks, no air force, no nothing. How did the fortified city of Jericho fell down? What did they do? They blow the trumpet 7 times as the Lord told them. Is it by any man's means the Jericho fell? No, it was the Lord's doing. And yet, out of all that, this one little house is standing, and all in it was safe. And what a picture of the believer in the Lord Jesus, delivered from the penalty of sin or the punishment of sin, and also the pollution of sin and the power of sins. And thank God this morning, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus, you're going to be delivered from the presence of sin forever. The book of Revelation chapter 21, we read, there is no more sin, no more curse, no more death, no more pain. I know some of you are older, sitting there with the aches and pains and your back and your knees and you know. But you know what? The Lord is going to change all that when we get home. There is no night there. What a wonderful life that is going to be. It is all because of the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus. Not only she found new fame, but she also found new family. She went from being part of a judge nation to be a part of a holy nation. Remember, she was a Gentile woman, Canaanite, but now, and most of the scholars believe that she married one of the spies, the Israelite, and she became the great, great, great grandmother of our Lord Jesus, being part of a holy nation. So is with the believer in the Lord Jesus, because John, when he writes in his epistle, he says, what manner of love had the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons and daughters of God. And if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus this morning, that's who you are, son and daughter of God. And you belong to a new family in heaven. And also you belong to the family of God here. What a wonderful privilege is that. And she became the ancestor of our Lord Jesus. And that is God's business. God is in the business of specializing, taking lost sinners, saving them by His grace, and then using them to touch the world by His power. That is why the church exists. That's why Bethel exists. We have no other business than bringing others to the Lord Jesus. You know why? That is the commandment that the Lord Jesus gave it to the disciples after He was risen from the dead. There's two commandments He gave. I mentioned this before. One was, before He went to the cross, He instituted the Lord's Supper, the Passover, and said to the disciples, this do in remembrance of Me. And the second command, after His death, burial, and resurrection, He met the disciples and He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, making disciples for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are a believer, you know the value of the blood of the Lord Jesus. And this scarlet thread that she hung from her house, how that reminds us how the children were delivered from Egypt. Remember how they were delivered? When all the Egyptians were massacred, each one of them had to take a lamb and kill the lamb and apply the blood of that lamb to the doorpost of their house. And when the angel of death came through Egypt, what happened? All the houses that were marked by the blood on the doorpost were saved, all the inhabitants, when others were dead. And that is exactly what the cross represents this morning to you and to me. His blood, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow. How wonderful to be redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus. And I just want to give you a little acrostic for the cross this morning. And cross is spelled C-R-O-S-S. You all know that. That is, the C reminds you and me this morning the constraining compassion of the Lord Jesus. The Apostle Paul, when he was writing to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, he says, the love of Christ constraineth us to be ambassadors for him. So in other words, his love on the cross of Calvary that he showed to you and to me is a constraining force in your life and my life to tell others about the Lord Jesus. That's why the Apostle Paul says, then therefore we are ambassadors for him. We are representing another country here. That's what the ambassador do. The constraining compassion of the Lord Jesus. The R reminds you and me this morning of the redeeming blood of the Lord Jesus. The Apostle Peter, when he's writing chapter 1 and verse 18, he says, you are not redeemed by the vain traditions of your fathers, but you are redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb without spot and without blemish. Sinless Son of God shed his precious blood on the cross of Calvary for your sins and my sins. And if you confess our sins, he is just and faithful to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's why we proclaim the gospel this morning. The O reminds us this morning the overpowering, the overcoming power of the blood of the Lord Jesus. You know, those of you who read the Bible, you go to the book of Revelation chapter 7, it reads there, who are these? They were asking the question, they're standing there, and said, these are the people that, the victorious people that overcame by the power of the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And the Lord Jesus told his disciples, John's Gospel chapter 16 and verse 33, he says, in the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And the Apostle Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57 and 58, he says, thanks to God for the victory, the victorious Christ, in the Lord Jesus, who giveth us the victory in Christ Jesus. So, the Lord Jesus is he won the victory over not only death and the devil and all diseases. And this morning, you have a victorious Christ on your side if you are a Christian living. And if you are not a Christian here this morning, we pray that the Holy Spirit will talk to your hearts this morning. And the yes reminds us this morning of the saving strength of the Lord Jesus. The book of Hebrews chapter 7 reminds us we have a high priest who is passed through the heavens, who need not make daily sacrifices, but he is making intercession on our behalf at the right hand of God. So he is able to save to the uttermost because he is ever liveth to make intercession for us. He is a living Savior. And finally, the S reminds us the satisfying love of the Lord Jesus. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8, and those verses you can read 35 to 39. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall death, shall tribulation, shall pestilence, anything in the world, he says, cannot separate you and me from the love of God. If you are saved, a saint this morning, that is your portion and my portion. So what is some of the lessons that we learn from this chapter? The effect of faith in a sinner. Okay. She believed the news of God's wrath. She realized Jehovah was the great God. She had great fear because of her sin. She desired to be saved. Her cry for mercy included her family. She obeyed the instructions that was given to them. And that is why we have this book with us this morning. The Apostle Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, he says, as his divine power has given us all things pertaining to life and godliness in this book. In other words, this is the manufacturer's manual for your life and my life. It's the precious word of God. And she believed and she obeyed the instruction. She trusted in the oath that was given by the spies to her. In other words, she believed in the word of God and she received God's assurance. And this, as you know, you go through the book of Russell Joshua, you'll find that when the children of Israel conquered the city, Rahab and her family, the entire family, was saved because of her faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, in God. So here we are this morning. If you are saved, praise the Lord and thank Him. What a change has He has made in your life and my life. If you are not a believer here this morning, the scripture plainly shows that you need to trust Him for the salvation of your soul and be saved and have eternal life. And that life is much more than anything that you can desire in the world today. So I hope the Lord will speak to your hearts by His Holy Spirit this morning to trust Him. And those who are as believers, that His Spirit will lead us and guide us. Just like the book of Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Shall we look to the Lord? Our God and our Father, we thank Thee this morning for the salvation of God is provided through the Lord Jesus by his death on the cross by shedding his precious blood for the remission of our sins. So, Father, as we looked at the life of Rahab, we thank thee that she believed in the God of heaven and of earth, and she placed her trust and faith in the God, and because of that she was saved from wrath and destruction. So, Father, this morning we thank thee for everyone who is present here, and ask thy richest blessing upon each one. And if anyone here does not know the saving knowledge, the grace of the Lord Jesus, we pray that thy Holy Spirit might speak to their hearts, and they might come to know him, not only as Savior, but as their Lord in their life. And those of us know the Lord Jesus as our Savior and Lord, we pray that thy Holy Spirit might continue to guide us and lead us, that we might be true witnesses for him and ambassadors for him. Father, give us the courage and the boldness to speak to others about what we have in the Lord Jesus. Disperse us with thy blessing this morning, for we ask it in the worthy and precious name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.